is no clear ruling in the Quran and Sunnah, or there is difficulty in understanding its meaning, or the verses can have more than one meaning, or there is ambiguity or brevity in its meaning, or they are outwardly conflicting verses of ahadith. The object of taqleed is that in those matters in which there are different manners of practicing, is to choose one path, trusting on the understanding and opinion of a pious scholar who had devoted his life to understanding Islamic concepts instead of preferring one's personal opinion. It is obvious that this is much more precautious and correct. The knowledge, understanding, piety and intelligence of the great Imams, as well as being in close proximity to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are such qualities which were not found to that extent in latter times, and more so today. The amount of trust which can be placed on them cannot be placed on people who came later, as well as on oneself. The object of taqlid is only to follow the Quran and Sunnah. The only being worthy of being obeyed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow the Anbiya alayhi salam because it is Allah ta'ala's command, and because they convey to us the laws of Allah ta'ala. The mujtahid is followed because he is explaining to us in detail the laws of Allah ta'ala, which he has extracted from the Quran and Sunnah. The mujtahid is not ma'soom, that is sinless, and can make an error. For his error he will receive one reward, and for his correct ruling he will receive two rewards. It is compulsory for a person who has not reached the level of ijtihad to follow a mujtahid. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there were two types of taqlid. Taqlid mutlaq, that is, people would ask any reputable scholar regarding any religious problem they faced. The second one is taqlid shakhsi. People would refer only to one scholar for all the religious questions. We'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday the 22nd juz was recited in the Taraweeh Salah. Just before that, in the end of Surah Al-Luqman, one ayat was recited that Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ab, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge over the day of Qiyamah, when it will come. Wa indahu ilmu sa'ab wa yunazzil ghayth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows when is going to come. Wa ya'lamu ma fil arham, Allah knows what's in the womb of the mother. And وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٌ, and no person knows which city he's going to die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full knowledge over these things. It is mentioned of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. He was a great scholar, and he had a lot of reverence and respect for Madinatul Munawwara. It is mentioned that he had to go on safar for a certain purpose, but his heart was inclined to stay in Madinatul Munawwara, not knowing that whether his death will come in Medina or outside Madinatul Munawwara. So in his dream, he sees a dream, and he sees Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam points to him five fingers. So he is baffled, he does not know the meaning. He also, we learn, great scholar Imam Malik rahmatullahi, he refers to, as we mentioning about taqlid, someone is more knowledgeable. So he goes to Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi, who was expert in interpreting dreams. So he asked Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayh that what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this five? Does it mean 5 days? Does it mean 5 months? 5 years? So Ibn Sirin rahmatullahi alayh says that this is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he recited the verse of the Quran al-Kareem, that Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah, wa yunazzilu al-ghayth, wa ya'lamu ma fil arham, wa ma tadri nafsu madha taksibu ghada, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُمْ يَيَّ رِدٍ تَمُوتْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. In other words, only Allah knows where a person is going to pass away. It was an indication of the Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. Nevertheless, continuing the 22nd para, the subject matter actually begins towards the end of the 21st para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tell your wives that if you desire the worldly life and the ronak and the beauty and the splendor of this dunya, then come, I will give it to you. and wa usarrih kunna sarahan jameela, and in this way I will separate food from you in a very beautiful manner. So the background of this verse is that the sahabiyat, that is the consorts, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they requested Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they should be given extra allowance, extra spending. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like this idea, and it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam separated himself from his wives for 29 days. To such an extent, some sahaba radiallahu anhum thought that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had divorced his wives. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear that I did not divorce my wives, but I gave them a choice. And thereafter, he comes to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Now we can deduce the intelligence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So he tells Hazrat Aisha that you have a choice. Either I give you the allowance, or you can separate from me, and you can make mashara with your parents. So she asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is this matter, should I make mashira with my parents? I will make a decision on my own. I prefer Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, alhamdulillah, all the wives, obviously they had chosen Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back to his wife after the 29 days. So here we see also that the hallmark of Islam and Iman, al-bazazatu min al-Iman, that simplicity is part of Iman. That people should not go to town and become extravagant and request for extra allowance, etc. Yes, a person has to spend on his family, he has to be thrifty, etc., and he can't be miserly and deprive his wife, etc. But at the same time, a person should understand he needs to draw a line and give them allowance that will see to the needs, necessities of life, etc. But over and above that, then a person should rather spend that money in what he causes. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that regards to the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that oh, the wives, you are not like ordinary women, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, and you should not speak in low tones. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِي مَرَضُ وَقُلْ لَقَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا, because there are some people in whose hearts they become enticed. So say those words which are appropriate. And here also a person understand that فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ does not mean it's seductive voice. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, it is inconceivable that the Azwaj Mutahharat speak in that manner. What it means that a woman should not speak in a normal tone, in a low voice, because this creates some type of sickness in the hearts of those who have a liking towards woman voices. So here it means that a woman should talk such a voice which is in a befitting manner, in other words, in a straightforward manner, lest that person gets any thoughts. Sometimes a woman, if she speaks, and then now that person has an inclination, maybe this woman likes me, or she interested, let me lengthen a conversation. But from the beginning, if the woman says, gee, and answer in a very straightforward manner, then this person also will get the message loud and clear. Also, all we learn from these ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, that to ask, then a person should ask behind a hijab. If a person asks, has knocked on the door, then behind a curtain, behind parda, فَاسْأَلُهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ hijab, which will be mentioned later on, that ask behind the curtains, behind the hijab. وَهِي ذَلِكُمْ أَطْحَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ, this is more purer for your hearts and the hearts of the woman. So yeah, a person should understand how to speak, and that is regards to the woman folk. Allah mentioned the next verse, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, that O women folks, stay and remain confined within your home, that stay in your homes, and do not expose the beauty of that which you used to expose in the times of jahiliyyah. In other words, do not make a display of yourselves, that is not to make a spectacle of yourselves by flaunting the things of attraction, etc. So women, no need for them to go out from the house. Yes, there are certain times they need to go out, then they'll be accompanied by the mahram, etc. But unnecessary to come out and now flaunt their beauty, whether it is the modern day abayas, etc., this is uncalled for. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith that women are an object of concealment. And when they emerge from the house, then shaitan stares at them. He makes them look attractive amongst other people. And thereafter the Quran says, وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ, establish salah in your homes, وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ, and give the zakah and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Allah mentions that He intends to rid of you of all the filth. Your rits can be translated as unbecoming characteristics. All the evil traits and evil qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to rid you of those things. وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ, and He wants to instill in you virtuous qualities. Yeah, also if I should understand, the Rawafis, the Shias, they hold on and cling to this title of Ahl al-Bayt. No doubt Ahl al-Bayt are very, very important to us as well, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this also is in a broader text and broader aspect, because the text, from this text we can realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers, the wives of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereas the Rawafis, the Shias, they only regard Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu of the Ahl al-Bayt. Whereas this is not true, whereas the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are also included over here. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِلَا وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That remember those ayahs that have been recited in your homes of amongst the ayahs of the Quran al-Kareem and hikmah. So yeah, what does it mean? In our context, it means recite the Quran al-Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, ta'aleem. That is why our elders always say that encourage ta'aleem at home. This will stop many fitnas coming into the homes. So in our, like Hazrat explains, that at least in every home, that ta'aleem should be made of fadail, the alhamdulillah, fadail sadaqat, fadail amal, and also one kitab of masai, like Bashi Zawar, and one kitab on sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also very important, that a kitab on seerah. So these kitabs, a person, inshallah, Allah give us a tawfiq, when we go back, then try and establish this ta'aleem of these kitabs. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, that Hazrat Salma radiallahu anha came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that more often than not in the Quran al-Kareem, men are always mentioned. For example, in the masculine gender, masculine manner, the pronouns are mentioned. For example, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, in that the hukam and the command is also given to women. So thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, that innal muslimina wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat, all the beautiful qualities, those who bring Islam and Iman, those who are obedient, those who give sadaqah, charity, those who exercise patience, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who give sadaqah wal mutasaddiqeen, those who fast, and those who protect the private parts. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, that those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. No place in the Quran al-Kareem you'll find the word كَثِيرًا suffix to any word and command except the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like it is mentioned in later on, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ, in fact the next page, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. It's just like on this ayat, like a person comes to a person's house, he sees a beautiful garden, and he sees the beautiful flowers, and he asks, what is the secret behind this? He says that I got a beautiful irrigation system, I got a beautiful fertilizer, etc. So all these qualities mentioned before, what brings that is the fertilizer and irrigation system is like the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He adds beauty to a person's quality. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَدَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared, when Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already declared a certain matter, then there is no choice for a believing man and a believing woman that they should have any choice in that matter. Yeah, also what we learn, although it is revealed for Hazrat Zayd and Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the wife of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha. So yeah, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a full stop, then we should not put a question mark over there. In other words, if Allah reveals a certain command, then we should not ask why, when, how come, but merely accept it and make amal. This spirit of the Sahaba, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, that we listen and we obey. unlike the munafiqeen or the Bani Israel, sami'na wa asila, that we listen and we disobey. So this should not be the spirit. So nevertheless, the background of these verses very briefly is that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hakim bin Hizam radiallahu anhu had purchased a slave by the name of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, and she gave this as a gift to his paternal aunt, that is Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. When Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, she presented a gift to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they adopted him. He was not a biological son, but an adopted son. So Hazrat Zayd. So in those days they used to attribute, for example, Zayd bin Muhammad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like this, that a person who is adopted, that should be attributed to a father who is not his biological father. So nevertheless, when he came of age, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put a recommendation to Hazrat Zainab binti Jash, who was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that she should marry Hazrat Zayd. But initially she wasn't too happy, but after when this verse was revealed, she accepted it. But as it happened that they were not compatible for each other, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is going to, what's going to happen, that Zayd is going to divorce her, and then after spending the iddat, you should marry her. So now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt in his heart that what will the people speak, that I am getting married to my adopted son's wife. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and even told Amsik alayka zawjak. Even after this command was revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advised Hazrat Zayd that consider, keep your wife, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُخْفِي بِنَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَى النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. That you are, do you fear the people, what they are going to speak? Let them say what they want. We shouldn't think of what others will think, but fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah mentions that zawajnakaha. This was the privilege given to Hazrat Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha. She used to even marvel and even boast amongst the women folk and tell all the other wives that each one of you were married by a guardian. Me, as for me, Hazrat Zainab binti Jahsh, Allah performed a nikah. Zawajnakaha, subhanallah. So these ayahs were revealed. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ عَبَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Yeah, also a person understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a father of amongst the men. Yeah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had children and they all passed away in their infancy. Hazrat Qasim, Hazrat Tahir, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the sons of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all passed away in infancy. And we are the spiritual children of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like inshallah give us a tawfiq, when we come to Inna Atina Kalkothar, we will mention all that over there. So yeah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a father of any one of you. So do not attribute and say Zayd bin Muhammad. Zayd is only the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not the biological son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is mentioned after that is very, very important. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, wa khataman nabiyyin, that I am the seal all of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Yeah, the khatama, one qirar can be written, khataman means a seal, something which is a proof from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it can be read, wa khatiman Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means also that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to terminate prophethood. So there is no new Nabi to come. Yes, Isa alayhi salam will come. He will come not in with a new Sharia. Just like we in South Africa, we follow the rules over here. We have to go to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Al-Munawwarah, or any other foreign country, we have to follow the rules of that country. So Isa alayhi salam will come as a follower of the Sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So unfortunately we have certain sects, for example the Qadianis, who say that Mirza Ghulam was na'uzu billah a Nabi. And just to understand this, my own ustad explained to us, he said that wherever a Nabi passes away, that is the place where he is buried. So unfortunately this person, he passed away in a toilet. So now we can now determine what was the status of this person. So yeah, a person understand that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no Nabi to come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to a certain ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, that يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَّا أَيُّذَّنَ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ طَعَامٍ غَيْرَ نَاظِرِينَ إِلَاهِ. This incident was mentioned regards to the walima of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Zayd Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited sahaba radiallahu anhum. But it so happened that they came, some of them came early, some of them had sat, and they prolonged their stay on the dasturkhan.
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after all he was a Nabi, he had beautiful qualities. He felt ashamed of telling the Sahaba, now time is up, please go. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left the house, he went to the Husna Mubarak of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. He came to, again back. Like this couple times it happened. The after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that فَيَسْتَحْيِ مِنْكُ O Nabi of Allah, you had haya. But وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِ مِنْكُ Allah does not feel ashamed of telling the truth. The after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. So we learn few things from this. First and foremost, that a person should only arrive when they are called and not while the food is being prepared. Many times the person is he comes to a place while the food is still being prepared. Now what happens? That person, the host, is under pressure. Now he goes to the kitchen, he puts the family folk under pressure and tell him, hurry up quickly. And then he expects good food to come. Then women folk know how to prepare, what to do, etc. There is also our teachings. Many times, example, he should come home, ask one cup of tea. Before I can tell my wife, hurry up, make it sharp. I tell Muhammad, tell your wife, don't rush your wife, let them take their time. So yeah, also we learn many things. Also like Mawlana Qadi Sahib, Daan Barakatuh, yesterday he mentioned guidelines of spending our time on a Dasar Khan downstairs. Yeah, also we shouldn't take time on a Dasar Khan. Once we eat and fantashiru, that leave, clean up your place and leave. So do not take much time. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu took more than at the time that was allotted to them. Then also we learn from this also is that hijab, that when we ask behind a hijab, yeah, what it means that on Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu was a sahabi, was very young at that time, and he used to enter the homes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it is mentioned he came the age of 15. Before he could enter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dropped the parda, and he understood, now I have to, the wives have to make parda for me. So yeah, also we learn another thing, that when qaribul buluh, today's fitna, so many youngsters, yeah, some people also, women folk get angry. They say, you are making parda for my son. He's still small. He might be small in age, but he's got big ideas in his head. Why? Because of the zamana that we are living in. So yeah, also we should take this into consideration. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the fifth point, that no mu'min should marry any one of the consorts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first four points is in regards to every believer, and the fifth point is exclusive to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has the right of marriage to these wives, and no one else has the right to marry them after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. We have the important junction, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةً يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Yeah, what does it mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the malaika ascending durun upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it mean? Allah is elevating the status of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, He is sending His mercies. The malaika are making dua, oh Allah, you shower your mercies and you elevate His status. And what a profitable business, like my Abdul Ghani Pulpoli used to say, that this is such a profitable business, that the malaika doing, Allah is doing it, the malaika doing it, oh mu'mineen, you also become a shareholder, ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, you also read durood, not only salawat, but you send salam as well. So much can be said with regards to this, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, inna awla nasa bi yawm al-qiyamati aksaru maliyya salatan. The most closest to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those people who remain, recited the most amount of durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yeah, also we should understand, we do not say usalli ala Muhammad, that I am sending durood, but we say, oh Allah, you send durood. Why our tongues are so accustomed to filth, vulgarity, swearing, etc., speaking of lies, it does not befit this tongue that to send durood. So we ask, oh Allah, you send durood on our behalf. It is mentioned, as a Shaykh mentioned on Waqia, that on the day of Qiyamah there will be a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take his hisab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the malaika, that Umma malaika, that they count all his gunas, put it one side, and count all the durood that he used to recite upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one side. And thereafter, when he counted his durood, when he counted all his sins, and thereafter they counted his durood, they found his durood to be more than his sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, bas aage hisab mat kar lo, that don't take further hisab, send him into Jannah. So yeah, also we should send a lot of durood, especially on a day of Friday. The minimum we should try and recite 1,000 durood. And also those people are not reciting durood, at least 10 times, this is our islah as well. 10 times, then we come on contract, this is prepaid, 10 times only prepaid. Then we come on contract, inshallah, 100 times, 300 times, whatever it may be. Allah give us the tawfiq of being pardon on this very beautiful ibadat of durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very beautiful ayat over here as well, يا أيها النبي كل أزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell you, who is addressing us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling, tell your wives, tell your the woman, your daughters, and who? And the women folk in general, those nisa who have iman, what do, should they do? That yudneen alayhina min jalabi bihin, that they should draw the jilbab. A jilbab is the one, like a shawl, a very big shawl, which covers from the head to the bottom. And some say it only should be a small hole where a woman could look through, or a small letting where a woman can look through, where she can see where she's walking, etc. Alhamdulillah, they are women, alhamdulillah, they need to be saluted and praised, that they are women that are practicing upon this. But they should not look down upon other people who are not wearing the jilbab. لا تكلف إلا نفسك وحرّد المؤمنين. That you stick to this jilbab, carry on, but you encourage other people to do it. On a similar token, those who are not wearing the parda or not wearing hijab, they should upgrade. With regards to our dunya, with regards to our phones, every person when the contract finishes, we want to upgrade. With regards to our car, our house, everything, dunya, we want to upgrade. Here also a person should realize that upgrade in our deen as well, that we shouldn't stick on one standard, but upgrade and come to that level, inshallah, where we wear the jilbab as well. Yeah, also a small waqi can be written. Once a person came to a molisab, a certain person from England, and he started complaining, I've got a problem with child. He said, what is the problem? He said, first and foremost, the way you cover your woman, you are oppressing them, and how you are covering them. And secondly, you don't allow us to make shake hands with them. So now Allah had given him wisdom. So he had two sweets in his hand. And one, he opened one sweet and he threw a wrapper on one side. And then he had both the sweets in his hand, one unwrapped and one wrapped. And for purposely he dropped it on the ground, on the sand, and then he picked it up. He said, sir, you can have one sweet. So he chose the wrapped one. So he said, have you got the answer for your question? So he said, what? He said, why don't you choose this, the unwrapped one? He said, why? Because now you got polluted and contaminated with the sand. It is dirty. Why should I take that? So he said, this is our woman folk. They are wrapped up. They are very, very precious. Like that pearl is in that that oyster, right deep in the ocean. Very, very valuable. Not like the flowers. Everyone look at it, pull the flowers out, admire it, kiss it, and what they can do with it. So this a person understands that that unwrapped sweet, he took it. So he told him that similarly is our woman, that you expect us to unwrap our woman and put them to the filthy glances of other people outside there. This is impossible. Then he told him, please, you from England, I want an appointment to meet the Queen. I want to shake hands with her. So he started laughing. You want to shake hands with the Queen? I myself haven't got the opportunity. So he said, that's the second answer. So he said, our women are the queens. Only few people can have the opportunity of shaking hands. For example, the husband, the son, etc. So the brother, etc. Only few people can do. So he got the answer loud and clear, and he had to go from there. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا, that O people of Iman, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that which is truth, say that which is correct. Yeah, the correction and reformation of one's speech will lead one to taqwa, because the ayah begins with taqwa. How to gain this taqwa? To say the correct thing in the right manner and say it with the truth. And also it is mentioned in the hadith that every day, every limb of the body begs the tongue, that if you remain safe, we will remain safe. And if you open your mouth, if you have to say blood something, and how the tongue is, it goes behind the 32 burglar guards, and how sly it is, but the rest of the limbs suffer. This person maybe swears someone, he gets one punch, but the tongue doesn't get a punch. The person gets a punch. So yeah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that every day the tongue is begged from the limbs. And as Imam Hanif rahmatullah used to say, jirmu sagir wa jirmu kabir, very small piece of flesh, but when it comes to the crime, it is very, very big. So yuslih lakum amalakum, yeah, it could mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify and correct your amal, and it could mean also accepting your amal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your actions just because of your controlling of the tongue. And also with regards to the amanat, it is mentioned in the next verse, inna arad al amanat ala samawat wal ard. Yeah, the ulama give the different explanation that this amanat is with regards to the trust, with regards to the fara'is, the wajibat, the shariat of Islam. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presented it to the mountains and to the heavens and the earth, but they rejected it. But insan, bolapan, his person who is ignorant, he accepted it. So it, Allah had bound to that Adam alayhi salam had to accept it because he was bound to become the vicegerent on earth. So in this way we need to fulfill. يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهُ الرَّسُولُ That do not betray Allah and the Rasul. وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ And do not betray the trust that is given to you. See, that the trust can be many, many things. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qissah of Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him steel. And it was so soft, like it was like wax in his hands. And how he could mold it in whichever way he wanted. So Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam used to make armor and links. And in this way he used to earn his rosy. So the day after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned all the things that Dawood alayhi salam, the day after he tells Dawood alayhi salam, اِعْمَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا Oh, the household of Dawood alayhi salam, exercise shukr and show that you appreciate to the favors of Allah. Yeah, the ulama explained two types of shukr. One is the tongue, to say alhamdulillah, to appreciate it, acknowledge it. Second one is to use the bounties in accordance of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam is mentioned that there wasn't a time, but every one family member of his family, either it was morning or evening, someone was occupied in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the shukr they used to make. And thereafter, Dawood alayhi salam even told Allah, the mere fact that you gave me tawfiq, the ability to make shukr, on this especially, that is gratitude, becomes wajoo. That tawfiq Allah gives a person, on that also a person ought to make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention in regards to this qissah of the qawm of Sabah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very briefly you mentioned the translation that in this, the qawm of Sabah there is in the dwellings there was a sign. So who were these people of Sabah? It is mentioned either it was a person by the name of the Shams and he had many many children and many many groups that came out from Yam. And this was in a place called Ma'arif, was a 3 days journey from San'a. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now portrays the whole scene before us. Before this, the introduction can be given that they were surrounded by two mountains. And whenever a huge rainfall came down, then everything used to be flooded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired them to build a big dam. Such a huge dam, they had three levels of gates. And accordingly, they used to open each gate. And below the dam also, they had 12 canals that water used to go to all the gardeners, etc. So what a beautiful life they had. What scenery. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here, Jannatani ayyamini wa shimal. Jannat, gardens on either side. What beautiful landscapes they had. To such an extent, it is mentioned that a woman on a basket on her head, she used to merely walk through those gardens. And automatically the whole basket used to be given full of fruit. So Allah should tell them, Kulu mi riski rabbikum washkurula. That enjoy the risk Allah has given you. But, oh yeah, also again, washkurula. That become grateful. That show you gratitude. Balnatun tayba. That this city of yours is very, very clean, very pure. And it is mentioned, any person used to come outside with any lice or any disease, etc. Before entering that thing, the lice used to be removed. The person used to be cured. Such a beautiful place. But wa rabbun ghafoor, Allah is also very forgiving. But what happened, that it's nature of insan, فَأَرَدُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلِيمُ سَيْلَ الْعَرِمُ Allah says that they turn away, and then we unleashed the water from the dam of Arim. It is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused rats to go at the foundation of this dam, and causing the thing to crumble, to come very, very weak. So when people saw that, they thought they'll escape it, they sent cats. But these rats were so big that they overcame the cats. Like you go in India, Pakistan, sometimes you see such big rats, you think these are cats or rats. So, وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ جَنَّتَيْنِ Allah says we substituted the two beautiful gardens what they had with something which was very, very bitter, very, very thorny and bushy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even thereafter mentions, ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ We cause this retribution and punishment to come to them بِمَا كَفَرُوا Because the nashukri هَلْ مُجَازِ إِلَّا الْكَفُورِ And we do not punish except those people who are ungrateful. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions further on that in their safars, in their journeys, there were certain towns were conspicuous. Like how we travel from here to Durban, etc. Like we have inns or they have ultra stations, etc. Yeah, they had certain towns. For example, they left the morning, they reached the afternoon. food was provided, they could sleep over there, enjoy themselves. In this way, so many towns they could pass by, and the safar that he used to make was calculated. It was everything was very, very easy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the journey of these in easy stages. Thereafter, they now are of nashukri. Here also we learn the wealthy thought to themselves, everyone had to now travel on this road towards Sham, then everyone will get sustenance. So they ask, oh Allah, make it difficult for us, make this journey long for us, so that the poor can't come over there, we will get the opportunity of getting goods, and when we'll sell it to these people, and we'll gain a maximum profit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that فَجَعَلَّمَا حَادِيثَ وَمَزَّقْنَاهُ كُلَّهُ مَزَّقْ, that we caused this to be narrators of people who take lesson, and we shattered them into fragments. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتِ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. Allah says there are great signs for those people who make sabr and shukr. Sabr ya means to act on the three stages of sabr, and shukr as well of those who are grateful. So yeah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith, أَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Very strange and surprising is the affairs of the believer. If good comes to him, if he makes shukr, and if some difficulty comes upon him, he makes sabr. Both conditions are good for a person. So yeah, also there are two pathways that a person goes on the road that will lead to a person, inshallah, to his success. One is sabr, one is shukr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of exercising sabr at the times of difficulty. Obviously, a person shouldn't ask for sabr, oh Allah grant me sabr. That means indirectly is asking, oh Allah grant me some type of musibah, etc. But rather ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyat. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah. There are complete afiyat and safety from all types of problems, etc. Wa akhir da'wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن جابر رضي الله أن رجلا كان يرفع صوته بالذكر فقال رجل لو أن هذا خفض من صوته فقال